I'm not sure how you feel about Christmas, but the Bible says the message of Christmas truly is good news. It's awesome news. In fact, on the night of the very first Christmas, an angel appeared to the shepherds out in the field. And the angel said to those shepherds, I proclaim to you good news. Don't be afraid, he says, because angels are kind of scary. But he says, don't be afraid. I proclaim to you good news tonight that is of great joy for all the people. See, that's what Christmas is about. It's good news from God. It's actually what the whole Bible is about. It's what Christianity is about. It's what our church is meant to be about, proclaiming the good news of God. In fact, the word there for the angel proclaiming the good news is the word that we use, evangelize. As we evangelize, we're proclaiming the good news of God. That's what the angel does. I'm evangelizing you, shepherds. I'm proclaiming this awesome message, the best possible news you could hear. But I tell you what, we really need some good news, don't we? What a traumatic time we've had in the last little while with just bad news galore. The traumatic siege in Sydney, the deaths of those children in Queensland. It's horrific. The slaughter of those school kids in Pakistan. It feels like it's just been a blitz of bad news. It's been terrible. And so much of it being close to home, it hits hard, doesn't it? And that's the bad news that's just in the papers. Maybe you have your own bad news headlines in your life. Maybe your studies are really hard. Maybe your work is hard or non-existent. Maybe your relationships are difficult. Maybe your health is shaky, or your family is messy, or your finances are dodgy, or you're just weighed down by a sense of guilt. The bad news in your life, what we need more than anything else is good news. What we need is God's good news. And that is precisely what he offers us at Christmas. In fact, it's the best news ever. And tonight I really want to spend some time in the Bible, in God's Word, considering these four reasons why Christmas is such good news. And the first reason is that Christmas reveals to us the God who speaks and makes promises. You see that in verses 26 to 33. We saw it in the Christmas story really begins with a message from God, a word from God through the angel, through the messenger Gabriel. And you know what? That shouldn't surprise us really, because all the way through the Bible, God is consistently portrayed as the God who speaks to his people. He speaks to Adam and Eve right there at the beginning. He speaks to Noah and then Abraham and Moses. He speaks to his people. He's the God who speaks. See, in contrast, you have Santa up there in the North Pole. He never speaks to us. We might send him letters, but he never sends anything back. He might leave us toys. We might leave him milk and cookies. His reindeer might leave little messages on the driveway, but there's no connection. There's no relationship there. He never speaks to anyone. He sneaks in while we're all asleep. He's a fat bearded home invader, but he doesn't want to talk to us. God speaks and reaches out to us. God communicates to us. He's a personal God, a relational God. God desires that we know him personally. And so he makes himself known. The Bible is God speaking. And the stuff that we could never figure out on our own about God, we could never in a million years figure out who God is. God says, here I am. And he reveals himself to us. It's an amazing privilege. God connects with us through his word. And so you see that in Gabriel coming to Mary. And in verse 28, the angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman. God's word, God's message is a message of joy and happiness. The Lord is with you, the angel says. But she's deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. You know, the angel has come from God. The messenger from God has come to Mary and he speaks and he makes a promise. And again, that's who God is. God is the one who speaks And God is the one who makes promises. God doesn't just speak a word of continuing to tell us our failure. He does say that, and then he gives us his promise of how he's going to overcome our failure. He consistently is the God who speaks a glorious word about our future. He makes promises to an undeserving humanity. And again, you contrast that to Santa. All Santa ever does is really respond to whether we've been naughty or nice. He reacts after the fact to our performance during the year. Whereas God, before we've even done anything, God makes promises that he is going to act. He makes promises that he is going to bless us and he is going to give us hope for the future. Because that's what promises do. Promises give you hope for the future. So when someone makes a promise to you, it gives you something to be excited about, something to anticipate, something to look forward to and live for. When someone promises to marry you, you really look forward to that wedding. You look forward to your life together. Some of you might know that my wife, Ro, has been studying at Moore College part-time, and she just in the last semester has done Old Testament, which is a notoriously difficult subject, and she's been super stressed about it. She's been studying really hard. She did the essay. She did the exam. She was so worried. She's been studying after she completed the course because she was worried that she'd fail and have to do the exam again. She's been really stressed about it. And so she's been thinking about the results coming in and said to the kids, you know what, if I pass, you can have whatever you want. You can have as many lollies as you want. In fact, I'm going to fill the bath and just, you can have a bath full of lollies. It's just going to be, and the kids are like, okay, we word in, done, promise, acknowledged. And you know what? She passed, which is very exciting. The stress levels in the house have been released nicely. And the kids are like, okay, lolly bath, here we go. And they've been excited about this. It turns out it's a lolly layer at the bottom of the bath, I think is how it works. But there was a lot of lollies involved. But that promise, that commitment, they were really excited looking forward to that. And they were happy that Mum passed as well. But what does God promise Mary? What hope does he give her? Well, verse 30, the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary, which is an important line. Every time an angel appears to a human, they're not just kind of fat, chubby, cute little babies. They're actually scary, holy beings from the throne room of God. Every time someone meets an angel, they are scared. And angels keep saying, the first thing they always say is, don't be afraid. And so here is a message from the awesome, fearsome, massive God of the universe, and his message is, don't be scared, because I've got a message to you of blessing and peace and kindness. It's good news I've got for you. Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Now listen, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. See, God's great promise for the future is a child, a son. God's promise to us, the thing that gives us hope and something to look forward to and be excited about and anticipate, something to live for, is a child, a baby. It's Jesus is our hope. And it's interesting, people realize, don't they? People realize that Christmas is about hope, and they know that Christmas is meant to be about peace and about joy and all that stuff, and people desperately want those things. I want to have something in my life that I'm looking forward to. I want to have a sense of peace. I want to have a sense of joy. People are desperate, and the problem is they don't realize, our world doesn't realize that Christmas is only about those things when it's about Jesus, because he's the only one who can give us true and lasting hope and joy and peace. You want to have those things without having Jesus, it doesn't work. It's like wanting to have bacon without having pigs. They go together. It's like wanting to have money and not wanting to ever have to go to work. I want to lose weight, but I want to eat as much fat as I can. It's not going to work. You want hope and peace and joy, you have to have Jesus. And it's kind of a sad irony in our city that so many people are desperate to find these things, They long for these things. They will search anywhere and everywhere for these things, for meaning and fulfillment and peace and hope and joy. And yet they forget or they ignore or they neglect the only one who can truly offer them these things that will last forever, and they are a free gift, and that is Jesus. Relationship with Jesus is actually what it's all about. See, it's a little bit like wanting a Christmas where you've got the presents and you've got the food and you've got the fun times, but you don't want any people around. No family, no friends. I know some people who think that sounds like the best Christmas I could possibly imagine, but you can't actually have fun and a party and laughter and a celebration and a true feast of happiness without other people, without relationships. In the same way, you can't really have peace and joy and hope without relationship with God, with our Maker, with our King, with our Father in heaven. Christmas is all about Jesus, but no more so than life is all about Jesus. And the reality is, you wouldn't guess this from the way we spend all our time and money and effort into shopping and eating and buying stuff, from the decorations you see in the shops, massive trees and all the lights and the Santa's throne. I don't know why Santa needs a throne, but there he is. And then over in the corner under the escalator behind the cleaning cupboard next to the toilets is this tiny little nativity scene just completely neglected and ignored. You wouldn't guess that it's about Jesus from the movies that we watch on TV or the songs that we listen to on the radio. But Christmas is actually all about God entering our world. And it's almost as if, man, imagine if there was some way we could have got Jesus' title or his name into the name of Christmas somehow. If only we could have put it in there as a reminder. Oh, wait, we did. There it is. It's about Christ. But here is God who speaks. Here is the God who makes promises. And his promise is that a baby's going to be born. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, that brings us to the second reason why Christmas is good news. It's because of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. He's the King who reconciles God and humanity, unites, connects God and mankind. And so Gabriel's message, the angel's message, the word of God actually reveals how special Jesus is. It's not just that he's special because you've got an angel coming to tell you that he's going to be born. That's pretty special. In fact, that happens a few times in the Old Testament. There are a few moments where God intervenes and a baby is born and he announces it with an angel. And they're usually special promise-keeping babies and great leaders and great saviors of God's people. But this one is special because in the next chapter, the moment Jesus is born, the sky fills with an army of angels announcing his birth. That doesn't happen every day. This baby is special. And why? Well, God takes the time to explain who this promised child will be. Verse 32, he will be great. In fact, the original word there, the Greek word there for great, is literally the word mega. That's where we get our word mega from, megabyte, megalith, megatron, the bad guy in the Transformers. But he's mega. He is the great one. Mary, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be mega. I think the average baby is about 3 kilos. A big baby is 4.5 kilos. I think the biggest baby recorded is 10 kilos. And he was walking and talking and smoking a cigar when he came out. But when God says you are going to have a big, fat, Jabba the Hutt, whopper baby, no, that's not what he means by mega. This is the great one. You've been blessed, Mary, because you're going to carry and then give birth to the great one of all of history. He will be great. And what makes him mega? What makes him great? Well, it's who he is. He will be called Son of the Most High. The baby that God promises is actually God's own son. And that's the whole point of the virgin birth, to prove that this child is special, that God is intervening in history to prove that this child comes from God. Here is God's promise to Mary and through her to us. This baby is my son. He's not an ordinary child. He's not just one of the rest of you. He is different. He is my son, says God. But it's not as if he is some completely different, weird alien race, a different species, a different form of life entirely, who's been implanted into Mary as she's like the host. Because that would end up being quite a different take on the Bethlehem scene, wouldn't it? It's quiet and peaceful, a few little animals. There's Mary and Joseph. And then out of her stomach comes this kind of creature. That's not what's happening here. Because look at the next line. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. This one is God's son. And yet at the same time, he is the son of David, a descendant of King David. This baby to be born is divine. And at the same time, he is human. He's the one who will inherit the throne of King David. He will shepherd his people as King David had done and bring peace and salvation. He's a human born in the family line to fulfill God's promises. And he is God's son born to reign forever, verse 33 tells us. His kingdom will have no end. Jesus has come to be our king, but not just our king, our eternal king. Jesus has come to give us life, but not just life, eternal life. Not just joy, but joy that lasts forever. Not just hope, but just a hope for eternity. This is the only king we could ever possibly need, because he brings in God's kingdom, the place of perfection and happiness and true relationship and true joy, because this is the king who comes to gather the lost, comes to gather and to seek and to save lost, fallen, broken, weak sinners like us. And he says, come and belong in my kingdom. And that's why later in chapter 2, the night that Jesus is born, his very first visitors are humble shepherds. Jesus isn't born in a palace and then all the world's kings arrive and say, welcome to the club, you're one of us, you're one of the kings. No, he's born in the middle of nowhere. He's born to nobody, really. Mary, who is she? He's born and laid in a manger, in a feeding trough, and his first visitors, humble shepherds, as they gather around to say, welcome, you're one of us, a shepherd. That's what God has promised, a shepherd of God's people. Jesus is the shepherd that we need. He's the king who can find us in our lostness, who can seek us and save us and pick us up and carry us home into his perfect eternal kingdom. And you know what we see as Jesus grows up, as the baby Jesus grows into the man Jesus? A couple of chapters later, in Luke chapter 4, one of the very first things he says in his ministry, in chapter 4, verse 16, if you flick over the page, you'll see there, he comes back to Nazareth. He comes back to hometown where he's been brought up. And chapter 4, verse 16 tells us he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." Jesus says, "That's who I am. That's what I have come to do. I've come to undo all the hurt and the brokenness of this world. I've come to bring good news to those who've only ever experienced bad news, poverty and captivity and blindness and oppression, all of those terrible physical forms of suffering, which are really symptoms of our spiritual problem, our broken relationship with God, because we've all rebelled and against God and gone our own way." Jesus says, I've come to gather and restore you broken ones. See, the Bible says there's this massive gap, a relationship chasm between God and us. And we can't ever jump that gap. We could never build a bridge big enough to get across that gap. That distance is just huge. It's impossible for us to connect with God. with God, the Bible says, is true life, is happiness and satisfaction and contentment and joy. And here we are separated from Him. And the further away from Him, like the further away from the sun that you get, is just, there is no life away from God. But here's the good news of Christmas. Jesus comes to us. And He is God's Son, the Son of the Most High, born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, and He is the Son of David, the Son of Mary. He is 100% fully divine and 100% fully human. He is God with us, and He is one of us. And so in Jesus, this is the amazing news of Christmas, the perfect, holy, infinite God meets sinful, dying, finite humanity perfectly in Jesus. Jesus is our meeting place where God and humanity connect perfectly because He is God and He is human. So that's actually stunning news that God has come down to our level. That God has become one of His creatures. He's become one of His little Lego men, one of His Play-Doh men. He's come to live with us and be with us because He wants us to know Him. But how can He do that? How can God have His own Son be born as a human? How can a virgin give birth? Well, this is the third reason why Christmas is such good news. God does the impossible and keeps His promises. See, Mary has the same question of how can this happen in verse 34. So she asks the angel, how can this be since I have not been intimate with a man? And the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. I am the Lord's slave, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. See, Christmas isn't where we just get a glimmer of hope, just a spark that helps us to hold on in the darkness of this world. It's not just a brief glimpse of peace and joy that just kind of gives us a sense of what's coming. Christmas is actually huge. It's the breathtaking power of God to achieve every one of His promises, every one of them. Christmas is the demonstration of God's intimate love and generosity and His concern for us. But Christmas is also a demonstration of His infinite power and strength to do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. Not virgin births, not walking on water, not raising the dead, not even forgiving sins and welcoming us into His kingdom forever. Because God doesn't just make promises and then forget about them. He doesn't just make promises and then change His mind. He doesn't make promises and then find, actually, that was too hard, I can't do it. He makes promises, I will be with you and you will be with me forever. And then He does the impossible and keeps those promises. By having Jesus born as a baby, the Son of God, so that man and God can meet perfectly in Jesus. How does Mary respond to all this? Well, at first she's a little afraid. That's a good thing when you're dealing with God who is massive and almighty in His power. Then she's a little confused, a little surprised. But when she really gets it, she is filled with faith and joy. It's the amazing trust. There she says, I am your slave. Do with me what you like. I am yours. I belong to you. May it happen according to your word, not my choice. I belong to you, God. And then she rejoices. You know what? That's the whole point of Christmas. If you really get Jesus, if you grasp who He is and what He has come to do, if you understand what is going on at the birth of Jesus, then you're not going to be able to stop rejoicing or giving your life to Him and saying, I belong to you. Here, take me. You'll be filled with a joy that is deeper. It's more satisfying. It's more lasting than anything this world has to offer. Blitzing the HSC, getting a raise, getting married, having kids, completing all of the levels on Call of Destiny, Warcraft, Duty 7, whatever it is, all the joy the world offers is nothing compared to knowing Jesus and knowing eternal life and experiencing peace and hope and joy. And so the fourth reason Christmas is such good news is because we meet the God who brings ultimate joy and salvation. Because Mary realizes belonging to God is the greatest joy. Belonging to Him. I am yours, God. And you are my God. And I am your slave, your servant. That's actually the greatest joy, because that is how we are created and saved to be. Belonging to God and belonging to His community, that is where true joy lies. And so Mary understands that the joy of this promise is not just you're going to have a baby, that's pretty fantastic news. It's not just that your baby's going to be special, but actually you get to take part in God's plan to bring about all His promises and to save His people. And this is where her song of joy reflects this. You see it in verse 46. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour, because He has looked with favour on the humble condition of His slave. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He's toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He satisfied the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, mindful of His mercy, just as He spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever. Notice in verses 46 and 47 that it's her soul proclaiming God's greatness. It's her spirit that rejoices in God, her Saviour. This deep joy comes from her very soul, her very innermost being, her spirit. And it comes from understanding Christmas. Understanding that Jesus being born is the perfect demonstration of God's love and His faithfulness and His commitment to us. See, we can have peace with God because she sings of God's mercy. God's mercy in connecting with sinful, humble, broken humanity. God decides to treat us with compassion, with tenderness, with forgiveness. We have peace with God because of Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. She sings also of God's infinite power, the mighty deeds that His arm has done. And so we have hope in Jesus. We have a future to look forward to that isn't kind of vague and wispy. It's locked in and guaranteed because He is that powerful. He's come to rescue us. He lifts up the humble and brokenhearted. He satisfies the hungry and the thirsty. And He tears down the proud and the mighty and the rich and the self-satisfied. If you feel like I've got nothing and my life is just empty and God is the one who can fill you. If you feel like your life is fine and you don't need God, then you will be torn down and scattered. But God's faithfulness means He always keeps His promises. God has spoken to us. God has promised to bless us. And God has given us His Son. And so because of the God who speaks and the God who promises, then we can have joy this Christmas in Jesus. Because these promises were made thousands of years ago to the ancestors, to Abraham. And they've been fulfilled in Jesus. And they are a gift to us. God is full of mercy. God is full of power. God is full of promise-keeping faithfulness. Which means we can have peace. We can have hope. And we can have everlasting joy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing the impossible and having Jesus born, fully God and fully man. Thank you for doing the impossible and saving us and rescuing us and bringing us into your kingdom. Thank you that we belong to you. Please help us, like Mary, to trust in you and to belong to you and to give you everything. And Father, we pray that we would be filled this Christmas with the true hope and peace and joy that only come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.